So amazing. Glory to God. But most importantly, make sure we convert these words to the tools by which we do life. Amen. So in John chapter 5, Father, we thank you because once again we humbly come to that place where we want to understand your heart and know your ways. And it's at this very juncture that we trust the Holy Spirit to help us to see your heart and to receive from it and of it. Let there be impartation of your ways in our hearts. Let it go beyond just speaking. Let life happen. In Jesus' name, help us, Lord. We put all our trust in the Spirit of God, and you will just lead this fellowship even this evening, in Jesus' name. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water, for an angel. An angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Whoever stepped in first was made well. Amen. This statement is a statement without any form of condition, in the sense that what I mean by that is, if you have stepped in, so far you have stepped in, after stepping in, and you are the first person to step in, then there is no more condition, right? Your healing is definite. Amen. When you have stepped in, your healing is what? It's definite. And for me, this is very beautiful and amazing. It tells me that there are realities in Jesus Christ, amen, realities in God, that if I can step into them, we won't negotiate whether I'll be well or not. Do you understand that? It works. You know, science gets to a point where they try all they want, all they can try, and they say they don't know what is wrong anymore. Do you know that happens in medicine? Sin is not, it's not definite. Science is not definite. Sometimes the doctor will tell you, I don't know. Sometimes the tech guy will tell you, really, I don't know. This thing is strange. Huh? 99.9, right? It's strange, I don't know. Sometimes some things even work. You don't know why it worked. Oh, you're like, oh, it's working. Thank God. Like maths. Some maths, you don't know how you solved it. But somehow, you just find out is the answer. And you're like, wow. The way Bisola says, wow, wow. You know, and you're just like, wow. But you know, God is not like that. God is perfect. Do you believe? God is perfect. And for me, this is my pursuit. I want to pursue the perfect, precise, perspective knowledge of God. You see, because it's something that I know that if I try out, it works. Praise God. Can you say it works?
It works.
It works. It works. And sometimes this is where a lot of us miss it. That we haven't concluded that it works. Bible says, your word is settled. In heaven, it is settled. Amen. Can you say one more time, it works?
It works.
Meaning that there can't be an alternative. There can't be something better. If you have tried God and God don't work, don't try again. Don't try any other thing, right? Imagine if God can help you. Imagine if God told you something like that, though. Finished, man. Finished. God says that. I'm finished. And so I like how definite that statement is. And I want to build my work with God to that point where I come into the definite dimensions of Jehovah. Amen. That's my plan and that's my strategy. And that should be a strategy and that should be your plan also. So it says, whoever gets to that well of whatever they... So at this level, whether your disease is terrible, some very strange disease, it wouldn't matter. It is whatever disease. Amen. And that's why I believe that no matter where you met God, no matter where you were, or what you've been through in life, and you meet God, if you're truly a perfect candidate of God's glory. So, let's read the next verse. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that, and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool." You know, and yesterday I was talking and I said that, how would Jesus see a man who has been sick for 38 years and still ask him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the assumption is that that's a stupid question. If it was somebody else who asked that question, we would have given a different answer. Like, how do you see someone who has been sick for 38 years and you're asking him, "Do you want to be made well?" That's some stupid question. But I told you on Sunday that the way God sees is different from the way we see. The way God judges is different from the way we judge. The way God perceives and interprets is different from the way we interpret things. That anything you don't want by faith, you don't want. Faith to God is the proof of your desire. Do you understand? God does not count wishful thinking. So sometimes you say God hasn't answered your prayer and God is saying, "This guy's never prayed about it." And you're like, "Wow, I've never prayed about it." And God says, "You never prayed about it." I'm like, "God, how come?" You see, because there are many things we call prayer that God don't call prayer. Like, "God, see me now." And God says, "See you, what happened?" What happened? And God doesn't count it. And God says, "Why me?" And God says, why did I die for you? There are many ways we think we have asked, but we haven't asked. If your asking doesn't have faith in it, God is still waiting for the day you will ask. Do you understand that? So how do you see a man who's been sick for 38 years and you're like, "Do you want to be made well?" In the eye of God, that guy was never ready for one day. Do you understand that? He'll be made well. And the apostle put it for us and said that faith without works is rumor. It's dead. You know, I gave a very beautiful analogy of what faith is, right? Faith is your response to what? To beings that have done. There's just this response we have when you are sure the beings is done. You go buy bread with confidence. Amen. You go buy bread. Some of you go arrange gari or whatever. You see, because you are confident that the beings what? Has done. Eh? It's not ready. Beans has done. Food is ready. Beans has done. That's what you do. And that's that, to God, that is the proof that you have faith. Your works. And that's what the writer was saying, was that, show me your works. Then I will know that you have faith. Your works is the proof of your faith. And I told you, we need to begin to learn to do what we can do so that God can do what he cannot do, what you cannot do. Because the proof that you know God is going to do what you cannot do, the proof that you are sure that God is coming through for you, is that you quickly do what you can do, right? Because you know God is coming. You don't want you and God walking at the same time. God shouldn't start working, then you are not rushing to do your own part. You should do your own part. Go check scripture. One of the scriptures we have been praying with, that we will be praying with, is the scripture where the prophet told the woman, go get vessels. When did she get the vessel? Is it before or after the oil must multiply? Before the oil multiply. It's always like that. You get the vessel. So you have to create a structure and a setting for your miracle. You know something about the Word of God, as I have been trying to, I have a great based on my enthusiasm, I qualify to call by myself. I might be wrong, but I qualify myself. I'm a word enthusiast, the Word of God. I want to understand the word. And by that, I am someone who is given to knowing the workings of God's heart. And that's what I mean by the word. I'm not necessarily talking preaching or that. I just like to find out the corners of his heart and find out the wisdom by which I like to know how Jesus thinks, you know, so that I can perhaps align myself in that direction. Praise God. And so, go get the vessel before the oil was what? Was multiplied. Always like that. And so, sometimes you are just in a place of sorrow and you assume that your sorrowful state equates request. It's an assumption. Let me read a popular scripture that I count as a major indictment. And we all have reasons to argue it with God, because I don't understand James 4. I think I have an issue with this statement. It's an indictment from the writers of scripture against humanity. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure? Somebody say desire. Desire. Shed desire. For what? Pleasure. Now that pleasure here is not an evil word. It just means good things. That war in your members, all right? You lost and you do not have. Say desire. Say lost. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Say murder. Say covet. You fight and war. Say fight. Say war. Yet you do not have. Why? Now let's go back to verse 1. We'll count those six things that God cannot use his sense to understand that we're using style to ask. We'll count them again. Are you ready?
Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your what?
Desire.
Shout it. What's the first one?
Desire.
Desire for pleasure that won your members. What's the second one? Desire. You lust you do not have. Third one? Murder. Fourth one? Covet. Fifth one?
Five.
Sixth one?
Four.
Yet you do not have. Why? Go back to verse 1. So according to God, no, but there. According to God, my desire is not asking. If I like, I desire. I do not ask. If I turn into lust, to wow. If I just get a car. According to God, you have not. If I increase, I'm turning them to covet. Say, man, try. I tap into it. According to this, can you see? You know why I like to know this? Let me tell you something. I know he has a strange behavior. I mean, this God that we are serving. So that he will not deceive me, I like to know his ways. I lost, I still do not have. Then I start lying, I start criticizing, that's mean of murder. Then, because of his own kujari, you know that that's murder. He's not that brilliant like that. Because she went to private university. Let them come and have two one in come and have two one in Ife now. As if she's the one that said your father should be poor. you know, poor people make wealthy people almost want to repent for being wealthy. As if she's the one that told your daddy not to work hard. Your mother destroyed the person's character. I said, what is he doing? It's because of where their church is located. Let them come and try it in Oshobo. Take it from me. Most of your criticisms are not from a poor, pure heart. Don't stress yourself. Most of it. There's something you want. The thing is paining you. And you think you are more qualified. You now turn into fight. That's when you set up an NGO. To save humanity. Turn into a war. And then when you meet God, God will say, you didn't even ask me. I say, So that's why I also like to ask my children, what exactly do you want? Because sometimes we whine like babies. You know, your baby's just crying, whining, and then the guy just wants chocolate, and then he doesn't have the confidence. So I try to tell them, say exactly what you want. I try to let them know that whining is not one of the ways of getting things. Amen. All right, so now you understand John chapter 5. When Jesus now asks that man, do you want to be made well? Because that's God talking to him. It means that God does not know about him wanting to be well. God does not. God has not heard his prayer one day. Because that's God. Imagine your greatest need in your life. The day you meet God, God has a... Or God ask you, do you want money? God! And I'm telling you, you've never asked him. How do you ask? By asking. Just go ahead and ask. No speaking tongues. Pray for your knee, Andre. Okay, but don't speak in tongues. Ask. And whilst you are at it, grow your faith on that matter. I'll teach about that by 11 o'clock tonight, by the grace of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want money. Tell the amount of money you want, what you want to use it for. And I begin to, from that moment, begin to build your faith in that regard. If you want a man, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to be married. Don't. Can I see some of you need to go up today and pray? As though say marriage does not define a woman. Marriage does not define a woman. Nobody say marriage defines a woman. Say marriage is I am who I am in Christ Jesus. You're just whining. Fine, in the name of Jesus, I want a man. I want those kind of man. And I believe you for a man. Abande, Pashata, Radasa. A man comes. My husband comes. You pray precise, exact. And after that, you begin to immediately build your faith. Listen, you can know what I want next by checking the history on my browser. Whatever I want next, after I've prayed and I'm walking in faith, every day I look at it more than 50 times. That's how I pray. If I want something, after I finish praying, every day I look at it. I look at it. More than 50 times every day. Everything, whether it's a microphone, whether it's a car, whether it's a shoe, or anything I want, I keep looking at it. I keep looking at it. You see, because if it's not the lane of faith, God cannot be found. So you can't have audience with God when there's no faith. You're having audience with yourself. You don't get, he's a big man. He's a big man. You know when you're related, you know when you're related with a big man in the flesh, you know there are some settings you must set up to engage a big man. Do you understand? God is a what? Is a big man. So if you want to talk to him, you had better make sure that you have what? You have faith. Amen. If you don't have faith, you aren't talking to God. Are we together here? Let me give you one bonus. I love the word of God. I love it. Do you want a bonus? Let me give you a bonus scripture. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Kings chapter 4. I have to read the exact place so that I don't do it. I don't want to do a teaching yet on it. Second chapter 4. I'll read. I say we have a Bible study on this maybe next tomorrow on the MixLR. So I just want to give you a quick bonus on this. I was talking about God is a big man, right? If you want to have audience with him, you have to have what? Faith. Can you see? You have to learn. You have to. One of your occupation must be the building of your faith. Let me show you. Let me give you a facial expression of the meaning of this scripture. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? What about with faith? Please God. Let me tell you what that scripture means. This is God. This is you. If you have faith, God will just be liking you. like, that's what it means. That the pleasure of God is on you when you have built faith around you. God just likes you. God just likes you. There are two people God likes that way, which is the same faith. The man who has faith and the one who gives, who has a revelation of giving. Those two people will always be extremely prosperous and favored. Giving, cheerful giving and a faith life makes you break through into the favor of God. Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Now when you get to that point where you give cheerfully, there is an intimacy God shares with you. Now it's not you love God. It is God loves you. Do you understand that? God just likes you so much. And people don't understand. They will think, you see, cheerful giving is a cheat code. When you give cheerfully, God will treat you in a way where people will know that God is partial. And God will still be telling them, I'm not a respecter of person. But you will know he's lying. Grow, get there. Get to cheerful giving. You see, because there is a reason to cheerfulness. So when you say God loves a cheerful giver, it means that you have a revelation. Because naturally speaking, giving is not a cheerful act. It's sacrificial. But when you start giving and you're giving, your heart responds in cheerfulness, it means you have revelation. It's that revelation that makes God like you and say, this guy are creepy. I'm telling you, it's like that. Very simple like that. If you're a cheerful giver, God just likes you. Then when people think that God should have destroyed you or God should have dealt with you, you do one small thing, God will take off your head. The one who, I'm telling you the truth, the one who's a cheerful giver, God loves him. God will look for one small excuse again and say, "Ko momo." It's David and Solomon's principle. Yeah. It's David and Solomon's principle. David says, I'm not going to give anything that does not cost me. It excites David to give to God. David is a crazy giver. And when you get to that level of life, I'm not talking philanthropy. There's nothing special about philanthropy in the spirit. It's special on earth. That's another conversion for another day. There's no philanthropy is different. Philanthropy is a cause, but the units are small units. But it's not, is it every day? Is it one day we used to teach the whole Bible? We'll be looking at this small, small. But I said I want to give you something about faith, right? So you need to create an atmosphere of faith. Do you understand that? Create it. And this is, I'm teaching you sometimes, you can start it now. You don't have to mature spiritually. It can be a culture from now that you are. God just loves it. He just smiles at you. He says, do you have people you like that you know that you are partial towards them? Do you know that everybody, there's this stuff that people usually, this love language stuff, you know, these five love languages. You know, when somebody consistently does to you something that you personally love, there's a way you love the person specially. For some women, it's gifts. No matter how angry they are. Okay, let me give you a very practical example. Let's assume you have a spiritual father whose wife likes gifts. The man now has three sons. Two of them can pray 85 hours in a day. And they come with a prophetic word every time. But anytime one visits, He always brings gifts. When the three of them come, when the man is busy, which one do you think the wife will make sure is the one we give to? She does not eat the other two prayers, but you see, that prayer is not a big deal to her soul. There was a day I went to see one leader one time. He was in his office praying, and nobody was allowed to see him. Nobody. The wife loved me so much, and the wife took me like this. Everybody was standing somewhere, seated somewhere. The wife took me like this, knocked the door open. The man was still praying, and told him, "Zach Ferrier." And took me into the office and did me like this, and went. And he was just looking like this. He said, "Okay, Zach, Joko." One day, somebody reported me to him. And he was angry at me. And the report was a wrong report. It was a lie. It was a rumor. But he was angry. He called me and told me to do some things. You know what I did? I went to meet the wife. And I explained everything to the wife. Whilst I was explaining to the wife on the spot, out publicly, the wife called the husband. He came to join us. I said, "Kilo Shefu Zach." The man did like, he looked at me. this is exactly what he said. "Kai, it was boy. Would get my shot." Listen, he apologized to me on the spot. On the spot, publicly, he apologized to me, and that was how the issue ended. Because I wasn't sure if I'll get his, because they told him lies. I just went to get the wife. Because I have access to her heart. Faith is access to God's heart. Certain women of the wives of the sons of prophets cried out, I don't want to read the scripture. Cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that your servant feared the Lord." Oh my God. I like the next statement, "And the creditors." You know that you know your husband, you know your servant feared the Lord. And the creditors, that's big revelation. Just know that fear of the Lord is not one of the ways to prosperity. It's not a principle for prosperity. It's, you know, if you fear God, you'll see him, you will know him, you will grow spiritually. I'm telling you, you have encounters. It's powerful. Go and check it now. Go and check how many people who fear God and have money. Or how many people who have money as a result of their fear for God. And that's the mistake spiritual people make. We think prosperity is a reward for spirituality. You are just saying, as I grow, I go armor. As I grow. You won't say that, but some of your spirit say, as I'm growing in the Lord, then the blessings will come. You don't understand. Fellowship, God fellowshipping with you is enough. You know, how can intimacy, how can money be reward for intimacy? Intimacy is too deep a matter for cash to be the reward of it. God is enough reward for intimacy. That's why I don't want to come to this scripture yet. They said, "The guy feared the Lord for the creditors." Ah, follow Shan. The creditors, they are coming to take away my two sons to be his slaves. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you?" That is the secret of prosperity, faith. It's faith that asks the question, "What shall I do for you?" That's the gift of faith in operation there. The matter was a money matter. And Elisha did not have money to give her. If he had money to give her, I would have given her money, wouldn't do miracle. But he has faith. He has a world of faith. He had the problem and he didn't run away because he didn't have money. He said, "What shall I do for you?" I don't want to teach this today. Let's run to where I want to stay. Tell me what to... All these things, every line series. Every line. A maidservant has nothing in the house but a... Oh my God. Go borrow. So Elisha told her, then he said, "Well, next tomorrow, when we are praying in the midnight, the Bible study before the prayers." This I told you I wanted to use two scriptures for Bible study. This is one of it. "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, what shall you do? You shall door the door behind you and your sons." That's how faith goes. You see, because faith is not common. If you open your door, your faith will be assassinated. If you open your door, your faith will be assassinated. Because faith is not common. It's not common pattern, common way. So anytime you are walking in faith, the world will kill it. Your father will kill it. Your mother will kill it. Your friends will kill it. Your brother will kill it. Everybody will kill it because faith is strange. So whenever Elijah was trying to bring her into that faith space, Elijah gave her a word, gave her instructions what to do, but said, "If you are going to do this one, shut your door." How should you do? Go and check a lot of Jesus' miracles when he wants to do it in the midst of people. What does he do? He sends people away. You have to, some of you are so emotional that you have people in your space that you should have sent away since. And that's why you don't have faith. You have not grown in faith. You have friends, you have brothers, everybody's in your space. Everybody give you advice. People are not afraid to advise you. Everybody feel free to advise you. People feel free. You see, you should live the kind of life people should think deep before they want to advise. How old are you? What are you up here? We advise this guy now. They should go and pray to God first. You should not be so welcoming. Yeah, to advices. No. You have to shut your door and make sure the only person you allow are your sons. Sons in this context mean people who are trusting God for, because those boys too, they know that they will be slaves. Are you together with me? Go and check university now. Olodo work, Olodo. Bila people work with Bila people. And that's how they will finish with that grade. They will carry themselves like that. All of them, Olodo will carry themselves. They gave us F. The brilliant ones who say we got A. You have to shut the door and put in your house the people you guys are trusting God for the same thing, believe the same thing, deceive yourselves. Do you understand? Deceive yourselves with the right people. Get people you believe the same thing, you're trusting God for the same thing. Are you together with me? If you move with the wise, specific Proverbs 13, you are going to be wise. You shut the door. That's how faith grows. So you create an atmosphere. Because, can I tell you how faith comes? Basically, faith comes through repetition. The repetition of God's promise. The day it will turn to impartation, you don't know. But you have to focus on the repetition. Are you together with me? You must create an atmosphere that repeats for you what God has said to you. Have you noticed that after a while, when you have not heard the promise of God, the day you hear it, the day you just see it again, you now boost. What happened to you? You now see that book one day, you now see, hey, wow. Whereas you have been crying for 3 years ago and now, what's wrong with you? Imagine if you have maintained that tenacity. You need faith too. You need a lot of faith. But your journey is far. So you have to learn to shut your door. You shut it. Because the only thing that is real is what is inside you. So the reason why you are assured of failure is because failure is inside you. If you shut your door and put only success in that door and repeat. Well, is it in Galatians that Paul was talking about who has bewitched them and all that? He said, how did you get saved? Is it not through the hearing of faith? It's repetition. Repetition. Repeat it every day. Don't let a day go. Listen, you have no reason to permit doubt. Because why did you take a break of stepping into doubt? What if you never had a break time for doubt? Where all your moments is what? Is faith. Few words. You have to remind yourself of the promise. You have to have a company of those who are in the promise. Your sons, who also know they are going to slave, they will be slaves. The woman does not want to lose her children. Her children too don't want to be slaves. So both of the three of them are in the house alone. You can imagine the level of energy in the house. Nobody's smiling there. No. Nobody's smiling, no. If the child of a rich man in the house, he will distract them. Because he has nothing. We have put the son of a rich man there. We just say, let's go and play ball. Let's go. Life is not that hard. And my friends here. So you have to show and then raw, whether it's the will of God for you to prosper or not. That's the strange about prosperity. You know, you know sickness is from Satan. You know sin is from Satan, but you don't really know that lack is from Satan. Lack is a dealing. I'm telling you. So some of us can say accommodate lack, and what you can accommodate, God is just trying to test my heart. But the day you understand that prosperity is an enemy, it's part of the things, the reason Jesus died. It's a work of Satan. Poverty, rather. It's a work of Satan. And that God wants you to prosper, even as your what? Even as your soul prospers. That statement means two things. It means prosper as your soul prospers. But God is also saying that don't think it's only soul prosperity. As this soul, the prosper self, I also want you to prosper naturally. You have to wage a war against poverty. I'm telling you the truth. Wage a war against poverty. You. Can I preach here? One of the things prosperity does is two things. Prosperity helps us to expand the gospel, one. And prosperity helps us to what do historians do? To record the gospel. Without prosperity, the works of God will come and will look as if nothing happened. It takes funds to keep record. You will get what I'm talking about. Are you together with me? What Jesus Christ has done for us to keep that body and to save that body, you need to purchase a tomb. It's prosperity that keeps it. The record keeping dimensions is prosperity. Financial prosperity, prosperity of influence. That's what can say this body that died for us on the cross, I want it. We have the wealth to purchase the tomb. Do you understand? And then we have the negotiation power to demand for the body. You see, because for us to have resurrection, for there to be a repetition of what he did yesterday, we have to be able to store. It takes prosperity to store. Are you together with me? You need prosperity, for example, if God is moving in a place, you need prosperity to purchase buildings that will prove for generations to come that God moved here. The prosperity that does it. If you don't have money, Satan will wait for the end of that move. It will be lost. They will buy it and turn it to a club. I'll turn it to a club. They'll dance disco there. You even know Satan passed there. But one of the reasons all those nations, UK, Scotland, why intercessors are still arising, all those beauties, some old women are still there. They remember. You think Satan is not interested in buying our buildings? He's interested in it too. John 5. Today I will finish very early because as you mature, you'll be using sense to do the work of ministry. I'm still going to preach 11 o'clock. The anointing used to be sweet until your body is not feeding you. Anybody decides you preach for 3 hours, I say, she. I did about 2 hours, 30 minutes, I said, two. What's the difference, Seth? I'm trying to open the scripture. Something popped up on my phone. It says Kingdom Boys Association. We have time. We have time. And because we're not full of the Spirit. Amen. Are you with me? John 5, Abby. Let me just tie it up. Father, we give you the praise. Do you want to be made well? And so that's the journey we've been on. We're talking about the journey of faith, right? How God perceives, how God listens, how God sees things. The sick man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man." Praise God. To put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Can you go to the previous verse? That previous verse. All right, the next one. So we can see here that this man, the beginning of this story is that there is a particular river that the angel comes from heaven, right? And stirs the river. Angel comes from heaven, stirs a river. The river becomes completely supernatural, right? Or heavenly, because it supernaturally cures all diseases. But still, that heavenly space, for you to access that heavenly space, you will need a man. Did you get that? Now, the needing of a man is not necessarily, it's not a criteria. Are you together with me? That was obviously put in the old arrangement and in the old agreement on how to get healing. But Sick men always need men. Are we caught in here? When you are sick, you always what? You always need men. Now, not only sick men need men, a sick earth will definitely always need men. Are we together here? So it means that no matter how supernatural the river is, without a man, you can access it. Are you together with me? So, as regards the flow of the supernatural on the face of the earth, even though it is an angel that came, for you to have access, you have to need a man. And we see that consistent in scripture, that our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, when he came to the earth, needed a man to preserve him. So again, an angel appeared to Bro Joseph and begged him, please help us take God to Egypt, because they will kill God. Why is God at the mercy of a man? Because God is on the earth. That there is a principle. Why? Because it's an eternal principle. The heavens is the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. Are you together with me? That men become the, what's that? The custodian of earth, and also the bridge to the supernatural. The bridge to the angelic. The bridge. That's what I told. Help us take him to. Now, an angel was the one who came to Joseph. Question. That angel, is it the one that doesn't have sword? Why can't they just protect Jesus? Why don't just stand and remove sword as on the apple for here? Jethro came to meet Joseph one day, and Moses one day. I told Moses, Oga. Me, I did not go to the mountain. No. I did not seek the glory of God. I did not do all those things. But as we are seeing it now, if you continue like this, you are going to die. Guess what? He will die. If he hadn't listened to the advice of a man, are you together with me? He was going to lose everything. So don't think the supernatural is supernatural. The supernatural is full of men. Your pathway to the supernatural is full of what? Men. It's not supernatural. It's not, when you say in the spirit, you, I don't want to go to the spirit. I want to go to the spirit. Yeah. The boss you will wear is a man. The boss you will enter that will take you to the spirit. Are we together here? When Jesus was going to start out his ministry, he needed a man. He needed John the Baptist to bring validation on his word, on his ministry. Do you understand? He didn't say, I'm God. You know, God himself needed validation by a man. You are not even God. You just told us God called you. We are not sure. We are not there. He said, God called me. I don't need a man. If God has called you, do need a man. No, God himself, who called himself, subjected himself to a man. Talk less of us, who told us that God called you. And nobody was there when God called you. We're not even sure whether he truly called you or not. We just believe you should not lie. It's not as if we heard. How many of you, when I tell you, that day I was praying, an angel showed me, all those visions I saw. Did you see it with me? You just expect that Koyeku Makparona. Koyeku's like Makparona. It's faith. You just have faith. He knows I was lying. But nobody saw it with me. You can't prove me right or wrong. Are you together with me? God himself. In fact, Joseph, John did not want to do it. And so, John, you have to baptize me. You have to baptize. Do you know what it? Do you know the insult John was using to baptize people? That baptism was not a fun thing. He was insulting people. People were coming to. It was a repentance thing. It was not really a coronation something. It was sinners going to be baptized under John's water. But that was the existing pattern of divine ministry at that time. And Jesus had to go there to wash himself. And John said, no, I can't do this. Okay, you have to do this. So this ministry will not start. I have to submit myself to you. You are the representation of God on earth presently. Are you together with me? And then he went. And then they put him underwater. Praise God. Very fantastic story. You know, when I was talking about faith, about shutting the door, you know what I just remembered? I remember Mary and Elizabeth also. Those are the only two people that can talk about divine baby. Yes. Who else can Mary talk to? Or Elizabeth talk to? I said, an angel said, I will overshadow you. You need another colometa. Do you know there are things God is telling me now? I don't even have people to tell. Listen, let me tell you the truth. There are some messages right now. I've never preached for once in this church. If I preach, all of you run away. I'm telling you. There are some messages God is bringing to me now. I'm just holding to myself. I'm sure one day God will send me some friends who will be sharing the revelation small, small with ourselves. I can't share it. There are some things God has shown me about the work of the ministry. I can't say it. The thing is, it's corrosive. The vision God is unveiling the vision. I'm beginning to understand. Do you know somebody? God has been sharing some things with me lately. About my life, about my purpose and my ministry and all of that, which I never believed will be in that direction. I'm just keeping it. A known intercessor today sent me about 2 chapters of a full prophetic download. Person was praying for me. Person was praying, not praying for me, and broke into a vision and saw it. And everything this person said, this is someone I've never had a 15-minute conversation with this person. Everything this person is the exact fullness of all God has been saying to me lately. I just wrote, amen. I believe. Mary just and Elizabeth just carried themselves together and began to. And Elizabeth said, when you spoke to me, did the baby not in my belly, not what? Leap. At least there can be leaping because there is a baby there. Are we together here? I was talking about one important story here. Jesus, right? So God himself needed a man. Are you with me? Need a man. Don't worry, I'm running off early today. God needed a man. You will need a man. Always. When? Always. The activation of your destiny, the power for your destiny, is most of the time transferred, imparted. You need a man to activate it. And Jesus, the man told Jesus, he said, I have no man. No, so I've told you that even though it's an angel that is turning the water, even though it's a supernatural matter, that the link to accessing it is through what? It's through a man. Are you together with me? Praise God. When God wants to shift your life and take your life to another level, what does he do to you? He brings a man. Whether spiritually, whether career-wise, anything, he brings a man. Men are doors for the openings or the shuttings of seasons.
Men are indicators of seasons. There are rivers you will never step into except God brings a man your way. Praise God. Are we together here? Brings a man your way so that you step in. Are you blessed by this?
Yes, sir.
I said, are you blessed by this?
Yes, sir.
God is good, right? He gave gifts to men. Is that not what the Bible says? In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. He gave gifts to men. And the gifts he gave to men are who? They are men. He gave gifts to men. The gifts that he gave to men are men. The gifts he gave to men are what? Amen. Now, how you see the gift determines what you receive from the gift. How you see the gift determines what you receive from the gift. So the potency of the gift and the ability of the gift is dependent on your perception of the gift. The potency of the gift, the ability of the gift, the capacity of the gift to work in your life is not dependent on the strength of the gift. It's dependent on your own perception of the gift. Praise God. So if you understand that when the Bible says he gave gifts to men, if you see those gifts are just men, and you don't see them as the one God sent. Am I making sense here now?
Yeah.
Who did God send to you that you are seeing as somebody who came? God sent somebody to you, you think he came? He came. Are you together here? You know, those men that came to see Abraham on their way to measure Sodom. You know, they were men until Abraham received them, they turned to God. He saw men, he discerned them, his spirit connected to them, he received them as of God, then their true nature was revealed. Do you understand? So there are God in men. Your perception will determine what you get from them. Do you get men from them or get God from them? So you can't tell me I'm worshiping the people God sent to me. You can't tell me that. It's your assumption. You call it worship of men? No. I call it discerning of God. Are you together with me? You call it worship of men. I discern God in them because if they are God sent, then they carry a portion of God. And the way you receive them determines what is revealed to you. Abraham said that, you guys should wait now, relax now. Praise God. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, what did he do? He ran. How many men were standing? Who were they? Men. That's how they are. From normal, just say three men. He ran. So he said, ran. From the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord. Who were they? How did he greet them? That's how to collect. This is the only way. See, I'm teaching you the Bible. This is the only way. If you look for other ways, you will not get it. You will come back here. I'm not stressing myself. This is the way. It's the word of God. My Lord, if I have not found favor on your side, do not pass on by your what? Servant.
They did not say they want to conquer him. They didn't say they want to be his lord. They are just men standing. That's it. Please, let a little water be brought. Wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree. I will bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your summer. They said, do as you have said. I like this big bear. No, Allah, now. You are in charge. What do? Abraham hurried. Did you see? Ran, hurried, Lord. Into this, oh my God, the Bible. This is Father Abraham. This guy is a great guy. This is not a normal guy. Are you with me? But his perception of spiritual things are not that level. In the old scripture, where did you ever see Abraham call anybody Lord or this thing? Somebody that you, just to give him money, self, he will insult you. King of Sodom say you have tried to take. He said, get out. It's arrogant. See. Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, this one is. Can you see how the kingdom moves? Can you see the temperature of the kingdom? That if the kingdom has a temperature, it's not casual. Casual people are gonna receive nada. I just laugh at them. Casual people are gonna receive nada. And it's not a burden. Did you hear that? It's not what? It's not your casualty is not my burden. That you are casual is never a burden. Because I count no loss from your casualty. In fact, it's your tenacity that is a burden. But your casualty is not a burden. Quickly make ready 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the head. Ran! Took a tender and a good calf. Gave it to a young man. And he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk. Can you see how the scripture is giving us details of the height of honor? I need to repent too. I'm going to repent after this message. I'm taking my honor game to another level. To my own menu. The one God sent, not the one that came. He took butter and milk and calf, which he had prepared, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Abraham. This is Abraham. This is one of the greatest men on earth at this time. They were eating, just stood. There's attitude. Attitude. If I'm blessed in pounds or Europe, I give my prophet his offering in pounds or Europe. I don't give him in naira. The time I gave in naira, it was with apology, and I asked. I said, should I bring it in euros? Or I should help you change it, not to sell. She said, go and change it. And when I give my prophet an offering, it's my privilege. I'm the one to thank him. What is it, Lord? Yeah. Okay, where is God now? Where is God? How will I give God now? Will I burn the money? Will I put fire in the money? How now? And if I saw God seated, how shall I bless him? How? How will I treat God? If Jesus burst into my house, what thing I go do? Have you just died that day? You know, Jesus just came and said, Zach, now you are good day for 2 days. It's possible. It's possible. I'm not just talking what can happen. So I go there for 2 days. Aha! Baba, what do you go chop? Baba, when I die, eh? I'm not going to receive any guests. Ah, that lie. I'm not going to say any guests. Lock everywhere. Bang, bang, bang. Quickly rush. Go buy 3 more ACs. Make cool. No, make it no kill out. The heat too much. And some of you might just think I'm just making a joke. I'm serious. I'm telling the truth. I'm serious. And so the closest, not just the closest, not closest, the Jesus that appears to me are the men he has sent into my life. And not just big men, no, not just the one above me. The one above me, yes, but even the ones that I serve. Even you. And you. And that's why I can't talk to you anyhow. Do you understand that? I have no right to talk to you anyhow. If you're meant to come to church 8 o'clock, if you come 11:40, I can't say, are you mad? Are you stupid? Why are you useless like this? To who? Who am I? Who? To Jesus? I can just say, why are you embarrassing your Lord? That's what I was saying. I said, why are you embarrassing Christ? This is not what Jesus will have you do. Those are the kind of things I say. Why are you giving the Lord a bad name? Are you seeing these things? This is Father Abraham. He took butter and milk, calf, which he prepared, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. And they said to him, where is your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will surely return to you according to time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife. Can you see the switch? The switch happened. The God dimensions of those men. Listen, if he has not treated them as God, they would have left as men. But I've left as men. And a lot of you have God in your life, but they have left as men. One day, my spiritual father was praying for a lot of people, about 50 people. It was a line like this. And he was praying and speaking over them. And he prayed the same prayers for everybody. Then he got to my point and prayed a different prayer. Prayed the same prayer for everybody. And got to my point and prayed a different prayer. And the prayer he prayed for me, I did not believe it at all. Because I thought it was just one of those nice statements people like to say. Like, I didn't believe it at all. Words are very important to me. So I want to hear what you're saying. So when he said the things he said, like two things he said, I didn't believe it. I was sure it won't come to pass because it was too much and I didn't think that was God's plan for my life. But I was grateful to him that he was kind enough to speak kind words into my life. But recently, when God began to bring some other things my way, I now find out that what he said, this is like 5 years later, I'm now definite that what he said that time was not actually him speaking. It was God speaking through him. 5 years later, God has come, visited me, and given me the exact prophecy that he gave me. Now, he's a man, but he is the man sent from God. Are you with me? So it was at that day, it was actually God speaking. Are you with me?
So, go back to that scripture again, where he saw them as three men. Let's read it again. Do you think we should read it again? I told you repetition is how faith grows. Listen, the strength of preaching is not complicating scriptures. It is the weight of impartation. This word has to hold your heart. I'm not trying to impress anybody. Do you understand that? Completely unnecessary. He lifted up the word. What did he see? Three men standing by him. Three men. But you see, when he saw them, something inside knew that they are not men. So God will visit you as who first? As men. It is your perception of them, your treatment of them, your description of them, that will now reveal the godness or the God, I don't know how to say it. The God dimensions that they bring your way. Do you understand? They will always come as men. So he saw them, three men. He ran. Attitude. Honor has behavior. Do you understand? Honor has its behavior. Honor is not in your heart. I got you. It has its behavior. Do you understand that? Are we together here? It has its behavior. It has attitude. I told you, was it on Sunday? Oya Kilome said, till today, when Idahosa's wife calls him, he receives the call how? On his knees. Attitude. He has attitude. Why is Pastor Zach preaching these things? I'm preaching these things because the kingdom functions differently. You can't bring your natural intelligent stuff and want to operate it in the kingdom. You have to find out his ways. Are you with me? You have to find out his ways. You can't import your ways. Are you with me, friends? The man ran from the tent door to meet them. He bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord." Now, the conversation didn't start from them calling him my servant. It was him saying what? My Lord. If I found favor in thy sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree. I will bring a morsel of bread. You may refresh your heart. After that, you may pass by. Inasmuch as you have come to your servant, they said, do as you have said. Praise God. Do as you have said. You won't be forced. It's not a prayer now. The way the amen. Do as you have said. You're not going to be forced. If you think God sent us to you, then do as you have said. Do. We won't force you. That's true authority. True authority doesn't come with force. I've told you, please, don't be naive. Please, don't commit yourself to people who lord it over you. Don't. I'm telling you the truth. It's unfair. I was speaking to some of my guys yesterday, and I said, listen, your life is so precious. Very precious. You have the right to discern the people God has sent to you. One. Two, let me say this to you. If I put too much pressure on you to submit to me, if I pressurize you into submission, my pressure self will not even give you the freedom and the ability to even now, the act of even surrender cannot happen because you have already killed me now. At least give me space so that I can now surrender. Do you understand? That you have to give, people must have room to make the decision of surrender or submission. It must be a decision that people make having an atmosphere where they could have decided not to. If you don't give someone an opportunity to say no, he has not said yes. People must be able to say no. Because that's the only way they can say yes. That's the only way the yes could have been their yes. If you choked them, the yes they gave was not theirs. Are you together with me? And for me, I think there is no time that is long enough or short enough for people to come to that place, because it's a big decision. Let's read. Abraham hurried. Somebody shout hurried. I'm repeating again the attitude of honor. Ran, hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, what did he say again? Quickly. Make ready 3 measures of fine. We'll need it and make cakes. Abraham did what again? Ran. This Abraham. Oh. This is a chief. This is a king. This is a lord. This is a boss. Ran to the earth, took a tender and what good calf. Now, check it. With all the amount of livestock this guy has, he was careful enough to pick the best. Do you understand? It was not just give me chicken. It was not just give me goat. It was not that. Oh, catch that one. Oh, catch that one. There was one particular one that he felt was good enough. Gave it to a young man and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk, the calf which he had prepared, set before them, and he stood by them under the tree as what? As the end. So whilst they were eating, it was like a waiter. Abraham. Friends, Abraham. He wasn't waiting for them to say thank you. He was waiting for them to tell him whether the food was good or not. He didn't think he had done them a privilege. He was grateful to them that he stayed. And was wondering, would they like this? Hope they like this. Hope they like this. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. The switch happened. The honor turned those men to God. Because from day one, it was God. But God waited on him to convert it. It's your attitude that converts your gifts to godly form, to the godly format that it is meant to be. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. You know, did you see the implication of this? Imagine if Abraham didn't understand all these things. This incident would not have happened. Listen, spiritual events and incidences are not automatic. They're not automatic. You can miss what God planned for you. That God planned for you doesn't mean you automatically have it. Don't deceive yourself. I say, if it's the will, it's the will. No. If it's the will, you must be right. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. And the Lord, and who? And the Lord said to Abraham, who were they before? Three men. Who is he now? The Lord. How did the conversion happen? Oh no. It's suicidal. You put your destiny, your divine purpose in jeopardy if you don't have honor in your heart. Suicidal. Don't lead a life without honor. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you according to time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh. But she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Let's read. Let's just enjoy. Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? See, so all the while they were there, they have been waiting for the guy. They were just waiting for the guy. They wanted to talk to him, but they were checking. The guy said, I like this guy. I won't make God like me.
I like this guy. I know God loves everybody, but God's word, you know what is your new creation? God said, I like guy. You know, sometimes for example, yesterday, I had an experience yesterday in my dream, and I was filled with the fullness of God, and I was speaking to one guy prophetically, and I was speaking to him as God, and telling him about his life, where he is, and as I spoke to him, the word of God filled his heart so much, and broke him. And then he began to tear because he was reassured of God's love. And they were on specific issues. Reassured of God's love. And then I woke up. And I woke up feeling like God. Like I was having the love that God had for him. I had it waking up. So I took my phone and I sent him the same exact text. What I told him in the experience, I told him. He replied to me. He called me. And he said he's coming to the house on Sunday. He needs to see me. I like when God tells me specific things. And I want God to tell me specific things. I want to have a long conversation with the Lord. I don't just want every man be Christ, new creature. That's the starting point. Like part of that doesn't have its fruit in real time. I want God to tell me specific things. I want to have a robust relationship. And I'm going to do everything by the grace of God that will make that keep happening. You know, sometimes God comes to me and he shows me. One day, God was... Severally, but one of the days, God brought somebody to me and told me about his life, told me about a minister of the gospel, told me about his life, told me about when he was a young minister, how their relationship was, why he is where he is now, and all of that. Guess what? The talk, I don't know the relevance of the talk. I don't know the relevance of the talk. I don't know what to do. It wasn't like... But he was just talking to me. He was just talking to me. I'm like, okay, I've heard, okay. Okay. And I learned some lessons from what he told me. But see how beautiful this is. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Let's read. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. And Abraham still stood before the Lord. So what happened was that it was not just the Lord. It was the Lord and angels. Are you with me? So it was now Abraham, the angels moved forward, and Abraham was now with the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare for 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this. I like that. To slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city. This is another discussion for another day. You see, because what he said before was, I want to go to find out if what they said they did is true or not. But the route with which he was going to find that out was the route of finding out righteous people. Another conversation. But my point is this, John 5. Are we in John 5? I have no man. When I was doing this teaching the first time I did it, when I was going for the second day, second teaching, God asked me a question. What kind of character of man will not have a man, even when he's sick? He's a bad person. You see, because no matter how bad you are, when you are sick, you still find one person that wants to stay at home with you. But what kind of person no can get any man? A bad man. A man will be saying, don't lose all your honor. Are you with me? If you continue without honor, the God men that God has sent to you are going to live your life. Are you with me? So you have to embrace honor. God will bless you. You will fulfill your purpose. You will fulfill your destiny.